Next on BYUSN, recalibrating expectations. With a reported change for BYU at quarterback, how does this impact win-loss expectations for Cougar football in 2025? BYU wide receiver Parker Kingston plans to win them all. What has him most excited for the upcoming season and where he believes he's ready to take the next step?
Former Cougar and new women's hoops assistant coach Paisley Johnson-Harding joins the program to discuss returning to coach at BYU. And EA Sports College Football released player rankings for the new video game. Who is BYU's highest rated player and who got disrespected?
Oh, the disrespect! So much! Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. Happy Tuesday, July 1st. It's the month of liberty and freedom, Jason. USA!
And you've got your color. Hey, these colors don't run, okay?
I love it. Jason Shepherd, ladies and gentlemen, and for the second day in a row after our long layoff, we are back together and discussing something that is very American. Video games, Jason. Video games!
Yes, we're going to talk about the player rankings for the college football. But hey, college basketball doesn't want to be ignored in this situation. They are also bringing back the college basketball
game. Let's go.
And it's coming back real soon, as in 2028.
So what?
Mark your calendars for 3 years from now.
I have to wait 3 years?
And by the way, the EA Sports college basketball game, it's going to have men's and women's teams on it.
I like that.
Which is cool.
I like that.
So, yeah. So, 2028, put it down in your Franklin planner right now.
I can't help but wonder what current BYU players will actually be involved in that game when it's released in 2020. We've got Chamberlain Burgess.
Yes.
He's going to serve a mission.
Brooks Barr.
Will anybody else? Is there a freshman on the team now that's going to be playing on that game in 2028?
Here's the thing. Kevin Young can tell us exactly who will be on the roster in 2028.
The number one overall rated recruit from 2027.
Believe me, they don't need to be told who's the up-and-coming player 3 years from now.
It's manifested. Yes. The top five recruits in 2027 will all be playing for BYU in that game.
Yes, amen to that.
I love that. Do it for America, people. Video games. On that note, rise and shout. Let's get to what's trending. Do next at quarterback in 2025.
Who will do the best job if they understand where the ball's supposed to go and if they take care of the football? I feel really good about all three of these guys. We've had great quarterbacks at BYU.
What's trending, presented by BYU Food to Go, the MVP of your next event. We recently featured CBS Sports college football insider Shahan Jayaraja on the show. He made predictions for the best and worst case scenarios for each Big 12 football team for the 2025 season. Now, in speaking of BYU specifically, Jayaraja has the Cougars' best case scenario at 11-1, once again referencing BYU, Jason, as the most underrated team in America. Now, with the caveat that he wasn't sure at that time what was happening with Jake Retzlaff. He continues, at one point this summer, he in fact picked BYU to win the Big 12.
We like that.
On our show. BYU's worst case, Jayaraja had BYU going 8-4, again, with the uncertainty surrounding Jake Retzlaff. So, with those numbers in mind, how does the reported change at quarterback impact your win-loss expectations and general expectations for BYU football in 2025?
Well, I think I'd go back to yesterday when we were revisiting our own preseason polls. And originally I had BYU at 2.
Yes, in the Big 12.
In the Big 12, yes. We're talking conference preseason polls. So I had originally at BYU at 2. Yesterday I adjusted that, dropped 2 spots down to 4.
Yeah.
I still think, though, they are a top 5 team in the Big 12 conference. I'm just so bullish on what this offense has in terms of weapons around the quarterback, whoever that's going to be. It would be naive to think that there's not going to be some sort of change to something. I mean, you can't go from something that you've known for an entire season, and quite frankly, you've got the 13 games from last year and then the 4 games prior to that in terms of starts at quarterback, to somebody who's not started at BYU. So it would be naive to think that you're not going to see anything that's different or a bit of a hurdle at first.
Yeah.
But I really truly believe in the offensive weapons around whoever is going to be the quarterback, that maybe it affects it in terms of a game. I don't even know if it would affect it two games. Look, and that may sound very blue goggle-ish, but I think it goes back to a lot of what, and I thought it was interesting, you brought it up in the A block yesterday, and then Blaine, when we had him on the show, said almost the exact same thing. And I liked how you qualified. You sometimes hear the word game manager,
yes,
and you think, oh, well, that means they're not a good quarterback, that they do the bare minimum. That's not necessarily what that means, and it certainly is not what it means in this discussion. It's more about making sure that you're not making negative plays,
yes,
that you're not turning the ball over.
It's Aaron Roderick's love language.
Yes, exactly. And I have faith that in the time that this offense and this coaching staff has to get these guys up to speed before the season starts, whoever it is, that they can do that with the weapons around them. Now, maybe one of the changes we see is that the playbook maybe is not open as much as it would have been previously. But I don't necessarily think that that means that it's going to be all bad with it.
Yeah.
So if I'm going to adjust, maybe I'll adjust it by a game. What do you think?
I don't see why people are so dramatic about their expectations. And again, I am not suggesting that the quarterback position is not important.
Yes.
It's clearly the most critical. But the drop-off that is being discussed by many of you, to the tune of, and I quote from a few people in my mentions, well, there goes the season.
That's ridiculous.
What? What? Did you watch what BYU did last year? Jason, remind me, how good were the defense and the special teams for BYU last year? They won multiple games for BYU.
They were elite last year.
Let's talk about what the defense did in critical scenarios. Why did BYU win the SMU game, Jason? The BYU defense. Mm-hmm. Why did BYU hold on and win against Baylor on the road? It was an interception that sealed the game when the BYU offense disappeared almost entirely in the second half. In fact, the only points scored in the second half in that Baylor game, a field goal by Will Ferentz.
Hey, what changed the Kansas State game?
Ah, interesting. The defense. This is a team sport, and BYU was, in many ways, a very complete team last year. It's not like the defense is going away and the special teams are going away. In large part, many of your best players in those facets of the game are back. So what is that? That's worth something. I feel like we're not giving enough credit to the other facets and aspects of the game for BYU. And it's just, well, starting quarterback's not back. There goes the season. No. I was at 9-3. My expectations this year were for BYU to go 9-3. And I thought that was fair, given what BYU lost, what they bring back, what they pick up in the transfer portal. I'm maybe down a game.
Mm-hmm.
So 8-4, I think BYU is more than capable because they are a well-rounded team of going 8-4. The key is starting at least 5-1 in the first six. Like if BYU can, and I believe they will, go 5-1 with a, on paper, favorable schedule in the first half, then that sets them the team up to go 3-3 in the back six when that schedule gets tougher, notably the stretch against Utah and Provo. Then you got to go a week later to Ames and play at Iowa State, a bye, and then you're on the road at Texas Tech, only to come home and take on a TCU team that we're not really sure about. BYU can win at Cincinnati, and BYU can beat UCF at home. Jason, this team is capable of going 8-4. And I wouldn't – come on. Like, can we be fair to the entirety of the team? And Jay Hill is the defensive coordinator, what Kelly Papinga has done as the special teams – and give whoever the quarterback is a chance?
Right.
Well, there goes the season. Stop it. No, that's way too reactionary. So I'm with you. Maybe again. 8-4 is where my expectations have shifted to, if you want to call it a shift.
Yeah, look, and I was probably a game higher than that in what I thought was possible. I thought probably 10 wins.
Okay.
So, look, so for me, if I'm going with the same rationale that I mentioned, that puts them with 9 wins.
Okay.
Look, even if it is 8 wins, that's still going to put you in the mix in this conference.
You're going to be, if you have a winning record in the Big 12, And again, BYU starts quick. They'll be right there in the conversation because there's going to be, I anticipate, a ton of parity. Who's the favorite? Who's the favorite?
That is the best part about this entire conversation is that even under the previous circumstances, there was still no clear-cut best team that everyone points to. Okay, well, that's the one to beat. You were saying, well, that's the one. Well, but then you've got this team. And, well, BYU, and then we'll look what Arizona State. Yeah, they lost, but they're going to be good with Leavitt at quarterback. You can go down the list with what Texas Tech has invested into their program. Baylor's going to be better. I agree with you. The word parity was spot on. There is parity in this league, and that is a good situation for everybody involved, because that means you're going to be playing meaningful football games every single week.
Certainly in November.
Absolutely.
Don't be surprised to see 2-7-2 teams in conference playing in the Big 12 championship game. I believe that's what's going to happen again. Maybe there's an outlier at 8-1, but I think that it's going to be 7-2 teams. We're going to have tiebreakers involved again. 16-team conference, it just feels like that is the general path we are headed down. But in terms of expectations, win-loss, 8-4. So I'm down a game, but just give the offense a chance. Give them an opportunity to try and figure some things out in the non-conference and work into quarterback and ramp it up. The one thing I will say that does change is you don't have a clear designated leader, because there was, with Jake Retzlaff in place, no quarterback battle. There was no con. It was just he was the guy.
Correct.
Like, that's always a luxury. And he was the clear leader. And his teammates looked to him, and there's that feeling of, okay, he's the guy in the locker room. So that goes away. And that can be challenging to overcome, because now you go into fall camp, training camp, whatever you want to call it, and you're like, if you're a BYU, you're like, who's the guy? I don't know. So that dynamic changes, and it can take a minute to figure it out.
Okay, but using that same example, though, let's go back 1 year to the year where it was Retzlaff and Gary Bohannon.
Yeah.
And that went right down to the wire. And then look what happened with what BYU did last year overall, but certainly with the consecutive wins to start the year. Same situation where you're searching for who's going to be the guy, who's going to be the one that everybody looks to. Well, we're in the same situation now. Why can't that be replicated?
The only difference there is you were dealing with a guy in Bohannon that was a very veteran player.
Agreed.
At the collegiate level.
Agreed.
In the last 2 years, how many combined starts do the three quarterbacks at BYU have right now? Zero.
Yeah, at BYU, zero.
That's tough.
Yeah, like that's why I preface my comments by saying it would be naive to say that there's not going to be any change and that it doesn't have any effect whatsoever. That's not real.
Yeah.
It's not realistic. But I'm with you. The doom and gloom that you're seeing from some fans on social media that the season is over is so overblown.
It will impact the way BYU runs their offense. Sure. Based on who the quarterback is. Certainly, you're going to cater to who you run out there and let them do what they're most comfortable with. So, yeah, we might see way less of the speed option, which was a big part of what BYU did with Jake Retzlaff. There may be less quarterback runs. There might be more running back combo sets with
Not be a bad thing.
Two and three running backs involved to take some of the pressure off of whoever the quarterback is. Listen, we might be in a scenario where Bear Bachmeier is doing what Taysom Hill did in 2012 as a freshman. Interesting that they both came from Stanford, right? They both transferred from Stanford to BYU.
Well.
But you see Bear Bachmeier with his ability to run and his physicality in a Wildcat scenario at the goal line? That wouldn't shock me at all.
No, well, look, why not utilize everybody? Why not utilize as many weapons as you possibly can if you're A-Rod?
You could see all three quarterbacks involved in some capacity this season. Just give them a shot to work with the offensive coordinator and be able to prove that they can distribute the ball to all the weapons that you keep talking about,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Who can distribute it and not give it away? Those are the people that resonate with Aaron Roderick. You want to know who's going to win the quarterback battle? The guy who takes best care of the ball and can distribute it to the weapons around him. That's going to be your starting quarterback.
And when do we get to see all this?
Come on!
Hit it!
Countdown to the Vikings.
60 days.
Nice. 60 days.
Nice. 60 days. It was 2 months yesterday because it was June 30th and it's on August. But technically, 60 days away from a game, not a practice, Jason.
No, thank you, Alan.
60 days away from a game. In fact, fall camp opens in, I think, 30 days.
That's right. Yeah.
Come on.
End of this month.
Our question of the day. You've heard our discussion. How does this reported change at quarterback impact your expectations for BYU football in 2025? At Twig Your Stone on X says, at most, I think this changes the season by one or two wins. They still have a really good defense and excellent skill players. BYU still has an entire fall camp to get the quarterback ready and come out prepared for the season. Again, two of these three quarterbacks have been in the system for long enough to know what Aaron Roderick wants to do on offense and to understand the playbook. Maybe it's not as open, meaning the entirety of the playbook, to whoever the quarterback is, but they know it. Two of the three know it pretty well. Wayne on X, Facebook, and Instagram to join the conversation.
All right, we talked about this earlier. EA College Football released their player ratings for the new video game, which comes out next week, by the way.
Okay.
So here are BYU's top nine rated players. Chase Roberts is BYU's top rated player, an overall rating of 90.
Okay, not a shocker.
Jack Kelly, LJ Martin, both at 89. Mm-hmm. Isaiah Glasker at 88. Mm-hmm. Keanu Tanavasa at 85.
What?
Carson Ryan at 84, Waylon Lapuaho at 83, Evan Johnson at 82, and Will Farron at 82. What stands out to you when you look at this list?
Okay, immediately, Keanu Tanuvasa at an 85.
Yes.
I just, they don't know, but they about to find out. Can we adjust his rating as the game plays out? Are these, like, modified depending on how well these players go? In reality, is that a thing? I know that it was last year, so I'm assuming that it will continue
in
this game.
Yes.
So when Keanu Tanuvasa shows people what he is capable of, I anticipate his number to creep up towards the high 80s, maybe get to 90, because I think he's that good of a player. So that was my initial reaction is, come on, be better for Keanu. Also, Will Farron, he's one of the best kickers in the country.
Yes, yes.
Like, I want to know what the other best kickers in the country are rated, because it better not be, like, more than 82 or 83, because I think Big Game Bill is at the top of the list. He's an All-American caliber kicker. So who are the better kickers in this game compared to Will Farron? Like I said, as long as the best kickers in the game are right around the same area as Will, I'm okay with it. But if we see, like, a 90 or an 88 from some, get out of here. He deserves to be up there as well.
It's interesting. Both of the players you mentioned were the two that stood out to me the most. However, it was Will Farron at 82 that got my attention first. Because
I'm just angry.
Yeah, and I'm with you. Once we see some of the others, I guess we need to do a little more research into what the other kickers in the game are rated at. And if that's kind of where they have just kickers in general, then maybe that makes a little bit more sense.
Yeah.
But that's the first thing I saw. 82? Come on. Dude is about as ice as, I mean, the guy is money.
Yes.
Ice water in his veins. Absolutely. We saw that kick against
Absolutely.
Utah. The guy's laughing on the sideline. He knew he was going to make it.
I like the 84 for Carson Ryan. I am hoping that BYU can figure out a way to implement the tight end. That one hurts because he's a guy that had great chemistry early on with Jake Retzlaff in spring football. So I am hoping that Carson Ryan maintains his trajectory with this new trio of quarterbacks as they prepare for the season. I like that number for him, and I hope that he's going to be an integral part of the BYU offense. I think Isaiah Glasker at 88 is a hair underrated.
Mm-hmm.
He might be BYU's best draft prospect aside from Keanu Tanuvasa. Like I think Glasker is just, he is going to be a very good NFL player.
Look, I was pleasantly surprised to see where they had LJ Martin.
89.
I like that.
Okay.
And to no surprise, Chase Roberts, the highest rated player. Look, Chase Roberts, he is poised for such a big year this year. Even with a
reported quarterback change. Yeah.
So I am so high on Chase Roberts and what he is about to do in this offense.
Nothing like getting fired up over video game ratings. Okay, let's call a timeout on football and get to NBA basketball, folks. It's free agency period. Jason, this is, speaking of love languages.
Oh, my gosh.
This is one of your love languages, NBA free agency.
You know, speaking of video games, back in the day, you'd kind of get that callus as you were, like, playing the joystick. I have got a callus on my index finger from refreshing my phone.
What happened next?
Like, every 10 seconds, I'm trying to find out what's happened.
Who else is making a move? Okay, first day of NBA free agency yesterday. Brooklyn Nets point guard D'Angelo Russell leaving Brooklyn and signs with the Dallas Mavericks. So, that leaves a guy like Yegor Demin potentially to be a starter for the Nets. Do you expect him to be the Nets' starting point guard this upcoming season?
Yeah, I have, the moment he was drafted, that this is their starting point guard. That's the way they're going to begin this season. And especially when you look at some of the other moves that they've made in terms of the draft, bringing other guys in from different countries, all sort of with similar skill sets. But the guy that they wanted first and targeted first was Yegor.
The first of the three point guards they drafted in the first round was Yegor.
So, yeah, 100% I expect him to be the day one starting point guard. And we're going to see that. They don't play in any of the other summer leagues because there's the Salt Lake Summer League.
Yes.
And then you have one that's in California before the Las Vegas Summer League. So our first chance to see Yegor with the Brooklyn Nets is going to be in Las Vegas next week. So I expect him to get the ball first, and he will be leading this offense. And just the fact that they decided they were going to let D'Angelo Russell go, he signs with the Dallas Mavericks to be insurance for Kyrie Irving, that just sort of seals the deal that they are going to see what they have in Yegor Demin.
Okay, so unless Brooklyn is going to bring in another veteran point guard through free agency, Yegor is going to be the guy, right?
Yeah. Yes.
What else are you going to do? And I'm looking at, you know, last night at the available point guards in NBA free agency and thinking, well, who of these guards would Brooklyn be interested in? Like, are they going to go get Josh Giddey from Chicago? No, he's a restricted free agent for one, but no. Like, he's...
And Brooklyn's not trying to win right now either.
Like, Russell Westbrook? No. Like, they're not going to do that. They're going to bring in a Wiley vet. They're going to work a deal with Chris Paul so that Chris can become Yegor's mentor in Brooklyn? I don't know. Spencer Dinwiddie?
No. This is Yegor's show. This is going to be Yegor's show in Brooklyn, and I cannot wait to see how he thrives.
Oof. I'm a little weary about him not being able to adjust a little bit. So I was a little bummed, honestly, when I saw that they traded away a point guard, D'Angelo Russell specifically, because I just wanted Yegor to kind of have a minute to be able to settle in. But now you're just the guy.
You're the eighth pick. They were ecstatic to get you. They targeted him from the get-go. And they're going to hand over the reins.
There will be some harsh lessons.
Yes.
But may as well just get it going.
Yeah.
Yes, right?
Absolutely. All right, BYU Sports Nation will have live coverage from Big 12 Football Media Days on July 8th and 9th from the Star in Frisco, Texas. You can tune in next Tuesday and Wednesday beginning at noon Eastern on BYU TV and on BYU Radio.
After the break, Jerem Jordan goes one-on-one with BYU wide receiver and return specialist Parker Kingston on how he's planning to be better for the 2025 season. This is BYUSN.
Segment of BYU Sports Nation presented by BYU Food to Go, the MVP of your next event.
Recovers it, inside his 10, running away from tacklers. Parker Kingston hauls it in. Oh my goodness, he's gonna go! Touchdown!
I like the way we looked in the bowl game. Let's do that game one, please.
Here's the more punt return touchdowns from Parker Kingston. We are live in Studio B. This is your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play alongside Jason Shepherd. I am Spencer Linton. Last week, we had a chance to go to the BYU Media Golf Classic. Jason's wearing the polo from it today. Jerem Jordan spoke with the aforementioned Parker Kingston on how he's handling summer preparation, what excites him most about the upcoming 2025 season, just a few weeks away, and why he's clearly the best golfer on the team.
Parker, are you the greatest football player and golfer from Roy High School?
Yes, ever.
There's never been better.
Never been better.
Who's in the running against you?
I don't know. Is Jim McMahon good?
Can Jim play?
I don't know. I don't know if he's good at golf.
I do hear that you are the best golfer on the team. Is this true?
Yeah. Yeah, it's by far. I mean, it's not even close, really.
Who's second?
I would say it's a tie between Tanner and Chase. Yeah.
Tanner Wall and Chase Roberts. Yeah. They can both
swing. They both can swing it.
This is the second time I've seen you here the last 2 weeks. Cedar Hills Golf Club, getting a lot of Parker Kingston. What's it like to come out during the summer, play with the guys, play with some of the media, play with the sponsors and that kind of thing?
Yeah, no, it's fun. I mean, I love golf, so any chance I get to play golf, especially if it's free and you get gifts. So, I mean, it's been fun. I was with the Coke people last week, so it was good to meet them and play with Coach Enna, and he's a ball, and he's so freaking funny on the course. It's hilarious. But, yeah, it's been fun. We're doing a little video later today, so it's going to be a fun time.
Can't wait to see that on social media. That'll be fun. Tell us about some of the coaches that can play, because I hear Jay Hill and Fessy Isatake are two of the best.
Fessy, I think, is the best by far, and then Jay is, like, right there, right behind him. I haven't played with Fess in a while, so it'll be interesting to see when we play how good I've gotten compared to him, but he's a stick.
Who's the worst player among the coaches?
Oh, I don't even know.
Nice answer.
I have no idea.
You're like this guy.
Yeah.
No, it seems like they can all play.
Yeah. I mean, they better be able to. They play so much.
What are you guys up to? Because I know you're strength and conditioning a bunch. We've seen videos of wall sits in the IPF.
Yep.
We've seen stairs at Lavelle Edwards Stadium. You guys are working hard to get in shape for the season.
Yeah, no, right now we're just workouts every day besides Wednesday. Wednesday's recovery day. And then Friday, we got the Friday finisher always. And last week, the stadiums were brutal. They were, it was brutal after, like, the sixth one. I was off the top, throwing up off the top of Lavelle.
Off the top?
Yeah, so.
Look out below.
Yep. There were actually people walking below. And I'm, like, throwing up, like, trying to get it so it doesn't hit them. But, yeah, it was bad.
Parker, is throwing up at Lavelle Edwards Stadium a thing for you?
It's got to be. I mean, I told Coach Phyllis, I was like, it's been my dream to throw up off the top of Lavelle Edwards.
And you did that last Friday.
And I did it last Friday.
That's awesome. Has that play gotten better after the season as you think about running 137 yards and the convoy and the Muffet, but you go back?
Yeah.
I mean, that's an all-time play.
Yeah, no, it was a crazy play. It also could have been a very bad play. So I'm just grateful the ball just bounced into my hands, and the rest I couldn't even, when I was running up the sideline, I'm like, there's no way this is happening right now. So it was awesome.
How would you compare your punt return for a touchdown against Colorado? Because it was a different kind of return, much shorter.
Yeah.
But still a big play in that game.
Yeah, no, it was awesome. I mean, it felt good to score against them after all the media, everything was Colorado. So to score and then run into their, like, end zone and their fans, I was saying stuff, so it was fun. Yeah.
What did you say there?
I mean, I can't repeat what I said.
You were excited.
I was excited. Very excited.
It's kind of a short runway there.
Yeah.
To get in and then get out of there.
Yeah. I hit a few cameramen, so. Yeah.
Look out below again.
Yep.
Talking to Parker Kingston here on BYU Sports Nation. You guys are working hard because you guys feel like you have something to prove again.
Yeah.
Of course, still questions around things still, of course, quarterback situation and whatnot.
Yeah.
Yet, you guys are prepared, it feels like, either way to proceed. And whoever's throwing you the ball, that's going to be great. Tell us a little bit about how spring went and what you guys kind of learned and what you hope to kind of get back into in fall camp.
Yeah, no, spring ball went good. I mean, I didn't practice. I practiced like the last two practices of spring ball. But I was able to, you know, sharpen up on a little things and get that connection down again. But there were a lot of people that looked good. I mean, Carson Ryan looked like a baller. I was watching the defense a lot, and Keanu Tonavasa is the greatest defensive tackle I think I've ever watched.
Wow.
Yeah, so he's legit. He was always in the backfield. I mean, he was against us in the Utah game. So it's going to be a really good year. We just got to keep honing in on the little details, and we'll have a good year. A
couple of follow-ups there. What was the injury that kept you out of spring?
I hyperextended my knee, like literally the first or second day of practice. And then I could have came back, but they were just like, there's no point. Like, you don't need to get hurt. So I sat out, and then I came back for the last two practices.
Feeling good now?
I feel great.
That's awesome. And then what does Keanu do to be so effective to get in the backfield?
I don't know. He's just big, strong. He's quick. He's got a lot of pass rush moves. So it's going to be fun to watch him and Justin Kirkland in the middle this year.
Justin Kirkland, a Roy guy?
Yeah, Roy boy.
What's it like to have him in the fold here?
It's awesome. I mean, I've always wanted to have another teammate from Roy on the team. So when he came, I'm like, yeah, let's go. And I'm told Josh, I'm like, put his locker right next to mine. So we're locker buddies, but it's good to have him.
Heck yeah. Tell us about the wide receiver group, because certainly there are losses with Darius and Keelan. Yet it's you and JoJo and Chase and Young Tay and Cody and Tiger Bachmeier.
Yeah.
Feels like a good group.
Yeah, it's a solid group. I mean, we have a lot of different skill sets. And Cody and Tiger and Reggie, who just got here, they're all really good players and are probably going to have to step up at some point this year and fill in. So they're gonna do a good job. They're good receivers. Yeah, LeMason's good. Yeah. Dom's good. Tay's good. We got a solid room.
That's a good group. What are you most excited about as you think about the season? About 9 Saturdays away.
Yeah, no, I'm excited to. I mean, finish what we did not finish last year, right? I mean, we were 9-0 and had those two losses and couldn't go to the Big 12 championship. So, that's all in our minds. 11-2, we're not satisfied. So hopefully we get to see Arizona State in the Big 12 championship again and then go to the college football playoff.
Specifically them because of how it ended?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I would like that too.
Yeah.
I think that'd be good. As you think about the season and look forward and whatnot, what is sustainable from last year of, okay, we can pick up where we left off and do XYZ?
Yeah, I mean, we have a lot of people returning. I think we return almost every starter on offense right now besides the O-line, and the O-line, TJ Woods, is going to get him locked in like he did last year. So I think we can just build off what we did last year in the defense with Jay Hill and the new guys that we've added. We're going to be a whole new team and a lot better.
Parker, we appreciate the time. Congrats on a great offseason so far. And don't walk by LaBelle Edwards Stadium and get hit by him throwing up on the
beach, right? Yep. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Parker.
Yep.
Parker Kingston on BYU Sports Nation. You know what's good news, Jason? Is you missed any of those? Just watch them on demand, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You can watch them on demand, the Deep Blues, any of our interview shows, find at BYUSN.com, or download the BYU TV app to get all of our BYU Sports Nation content, again, on demand.
Still on the way, BYU has not one but two Hoopers representing their home countries in prominent international tournaments. How are they performing in the FIBA circles? This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to Studio B. I am Spencer Winton. He is Jason Shepherd. Let's roll out today's headlines.
I don't know if you knew this. Today's the first day that schools can share revenue directly with athletes after the NCAA versus the House settlement passed last month. Athletic departments will be allowed to use their own funds to pay players with a cap expected to hover around $20 million annually per university.
It's payday for the student athletes. BYU football announcing that 5 players will represent them at the Big 12 Media Days next week. That 5 includes Chase Roberts, LJ Martin, Isaiah Glasker, Jack Kelly, and Keanu Tanuvasa. Now, wait a second. Were those the 5 highest-rated players in the EA Sports?
Yes, they were.
Scenario?
Do you think BYU chose them based off of their ratings?
Interesting. Big 12 Media Days, held from July 8th to the 9th at the Star Practice Facility for the Dallas Cowboys in Frisco, Texas. BYU Sports Nation will have live coverage both days beginning at noon Eastern on BYU TV and BYU Radio. Boots on the ground in Frisco.
On threes, Brett McMurphy released his latest bowl projections for the 2025 college football season. He has BYU playing Jacksonville State in the Independence Bowl.
Gross.
The last time BYU played in the Independence Bowl was in 2021 against UAB. And what happened? What happened during that trip for you, Spencer?
Well, not only was it miserable in the rain, but it was just a stark reminder that I got COVID while I was visiting.
Ah, the memories for you.
Anything but the Independence Bowl. CBS Sports Gary Parrish has BYU basketball freshman A.J. DeBonta going number 1 overall to the Washington Wizards in his 2026 NBA mock draft, claiming, quote, he looks like a future scoring champ. Ooh. Love that. In other AJ news, he's playing with Team USA. The U19 FIBA World Cup. They're taking on Cameroon right now. currently has 16 points. I think the Americans are going to win, Jason. They lead 83-47.
Cannot wait to see him on the floor at the Marriott Center. Speaking of on the floor at the Marriott Center, Delaney Gibb, who had quite a freshman season, she scored 7 points in 10 minutes of play for Team Canada in a loss to Brazil at the FIBA AmeriCup. That drops Canada to 2-1 in group play. They will face the Dominican Republic tomorrow.
BYU men's golfer Cole Ponich won his first professional tournament at the Primo Provo Open last weekend. He shot 20 under par through three rounds at the Timpanogos Golf Course and took home a cool $10,000.
BYU women's volleyball announced the hiring of technical coordinator Drew Barbie yesterday. He was a student manager for Illinois' women's volleyball team last season.
The A's, not the Oakland A's or the Vegas A's or the Sacramento A's, just the Athletics, recalled former BYU pitcher Justin Sterner yesterday after a brief rehab stint with the Las Vegas Aviators. Sterner, currently rocking a 4.28 earned run average in 29 appearances so far this season. Been a lot of fun to watch him do his thing with the A's, and what a start he had to the season.
Absolutely. He has definitely earned himself a decent contract moving forward.
After the break, former Cougar, and a great one at that, is back at BYU. In Studio B, for that matter, Paisley Johnson Harding is back on the women's basketball coaching staff. How did it all come together? So tell us after the break on BYU Sports Nation.
Harding. This is Harding. Harding, nobody in front of her. What a game for Paisley Harding. Harding off the screen. She's feeling it. Why not, Mayor? Give the hot hand the ball. She's a scoring machine.
BYU Sports Nation, we are live in Studio B. Yes, she was a scoring machine at BYU. Now she's a coaching machine. Paisley Johnson Harding is back in Studio B. And back at BYU, Paisley, welcome back.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you. Yeah, I'm so excited.
I was watching you watch those highlights, and you had a smile on your face. What does that bring back? What memories does that bring back for you?
I mean, playing basketball is so fun. And then doing it at a high level here at BYU with those teammates honestly just meant everything to me. So, like, I'm just remembering the fun times. Like, I mean, the black eye was, like, there. That was a wild trip. So, yeah, I mean, there's a lot that happened in my career, and it just brings back great memories. I love it.
You're not that far removed from playing and scoring a bunch. So, naturally, when you are watching practice happen, do you not want to get on the floor? Like, no, do it this way. You're doing it wrong. Do it this way.
Oh, my gosh. I'm like, I probably could still play professionally and, like, all that, but it was time to hang up the shoes and kind of grow up and get back into, I wanted to get back into college sports, so like be a part of it again, but obviously I didn't have any more eligibility, so I had to try the other side.
Okay, so tell everybody what you have been up to over the last couple of years since your playing career came to an end.
Well, after, you know, that March Madness run against Villanova, after that, I didn't go drafted, but I was offered a training camp contract with the Seattle Storm. So I was given the opportunity to go and try out for the team for 2 weeks, and I got to play two games. I scored a jumper in one of the games, so I like to say I got to play in the WNBA. That was a great experience. After that, I played some 3x3 for a team that was sponsored by the Seattle Storm, which that was really fun. And then professionally, I signed a contract for the Germany DBBL League, and that was really fun. I got to go play professionally for a season over there, and my husband, Connor, he also played over there for a team called Munster. So that was really fun. Great experience living in Germany for a season, being just the two of us. That was awesome.
Yeah.
And then after that, I came back to Utah, coached at Timpview High School. And then this last season, I was at Utah Valley, which was such a fun experience. And then now I'm landed back here.
When did the opportunity to return to BYU hop onto your radar? As far as calendar goes, I mean, what type of timetable are we talking about?
I mean, when I was in Germany, I kind of realized I wanted to get back in college basketball. That's, to me, that's the place to be. I'd done all the other things, and it seemed like the best place resources-wise, relationship-wise, all of that. I wanted to really get back in that. So honestly, in Germany, that's when I was like, okay, how do I get back to BYU? How do I get back to my people? But for this opportunity, you know, once Lee got the job, I thought there was a good opportunity for something. I didn't expect an assistant coaching role, but I'm very grateful for that. But, you know, with his opportunity leads a lot of like his network to opportunity, and I was super excited about that.
This team obviously is pretty different from the one that you faced as an opposing coach last year. I know it's early and you're still getting to know these players, but what has been your early impressions of this team?
I mean, these girls want to work. Like, from the bottom up, from the freshmen to the seniors, like, these girls want to work. And I think each of them are individually driven to get better as individuals and then collectively as a group. These women are super talented, especially the freshmen coming in. Delaney Gibbs is such an incredible player that I think will help, you know, put BYU back on a competitive map. I mean, she already has done that. And her experience already as a freshman, I think, just pushes this team in a really good direction.
I know a lot of fans are excited about Sydney Benali.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned that freshman class. Every assistant has specific roles that they are given by the head coach. And Lee is a first-time head coach, so I'm sure he's figuring out what he needs to do, what he's going to oversee, what he wants to delegate. So at this point, what responsibilities have you been delegated? What are you expecting to do?
So as of now, my responsibilities are getting to know the girls, getting to know the team. He is still, you know, trying to delegate where he wants people. I think also I'll take a big role from Kehlani in the operations and get her, you know, more pushing to be more as a coaching role as well, and, you know, allow her to have more opportunities with that and not be so bogged down by the operation. So I'm excited about that. But one thing that kind of pushed me to this opportunity was Lee also wanting to develop everyone on his staff, even himself. And like, even though I'll be doing operations, I'm still an assistant coach and I get to learn from all the others and himself. So, you know, I get to learn more about scouts and preparing scouts, skill development, you know, breaking down drills during practice. So yeah, I mean, he really is trying to develop his whole staff and improve every single one of us, which is really, it's something I was really looking forward to.
I want to go back to something that we were talking about a minute ago. And, you know, when Spencer was talking about you're not that far removed and, you know, you could keep playing right now if you wanted to. From a coaching standpoint, how much do you think that helps you relate to the players, but also how the players can relate to you as a coach? The fact that you're not that far removed and you could still play right now if you wanted to.
I mean, I have a lot of energy. You guys already know that. I think a lot of Cougar Nation knows that. And so
what?
Luckily, right? No, luckily I still have, you know, that spark of just like, I think everyone on staff has it, honestly, but like, we're really competitive. We're really excited, you know, to see where we can take this program under Lee. And I think I can relate to the girls a lot in the sense of just recently being played. And I've done a lot of what a lot of players want to do. So I can relate in a lot of ways, like even Emma Calvert signing her contract with the check. Like that, I want to be a help for her and anyone else in this process to be like, hey, there's going to be really, really highs. There are going to be really, really lows. Give me a call. Let's talk through it. I've been through it. Let's move forward. But yeah, I think being able to be recently removed allows a great sense of like understanding from my end for the girls, and also like, hey, we've done it before. There's a lot of people on staff who have done it before. You've got this. You have nothing to worry about. And you have a great group of people around you, like pushing you forward.
Paisley, you already mentioned the energy. Okay, so you're definitely known for your energy, but also your toughness. How do you coach toughness? Or is it just an innate thing with some athletes?
I mean, I think some people just naturally are tough, but it is something that you can learn. And I think expectations go a long way. And just like allowing your athletes to know what you expect from them, what the team expects from them, what our team values are. And I think Lee has done a good job of already kind of like implementing those. And I think all of us want to do our best, and not everybody has to be tough, but like you can maybe act that way. You can put forth your best effort always, and that's toughness in itself. So maybe not necessarily like playing through every injury and whatever is like the toughest thing to do for everyone, but there's always different ways you can show toughness. And I don't know, maybe I still need to figure that out, maybe how to coach toughness, but it seems like these girls are pretty tough.
I'm already pretty sure you played through 4 separate injuries your senior season.
I'm like, was that smart? I don't know.
Well, as a competitor, I've got to imagine what a thrill and an opportunity it is for you to be able to coach and to game plan against teams in a conference like the Big 12.
I am so excited about that. I mean, I played in the WCC, so like the Power Four conferences is a step above that. I think my last two seasons, we competed against P5s, like, no problem.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, I loved the game planning part of as a player. Jetty really allowed us to help out in the blobs of how we're going to defend those. And he really allowed us to be collaborative in that sense. So as a coach, I'm even more allowed to be collaborative in the game plan and be able to share my opinions. And I think this group of staff is really allows for that, which is really awesome. And I mean, coaching in the Big 12 is going to be amazing. I was able to go watch BYU play Shaylee Gonzalez at Texas for her senior night, and that was so amazing. And just the atmosphere in these Big 12 stadiums are incredible. So
that environment was unreal. By the way,
unreal. It was so fun.
It was. They did that right. Yeah. There was a really cool environment there in Austin.
And therein lies the challenge that we have at BYU to make that environment, right? We got a taste of it, I believe, in 2021 with the Gonzaga game. That was special.
That
was so special.
I still have pictures on my phone I look back on. I'm like, we filled up that arena. It was beautiful. It was a great senior night.
Yes.
Yeah.
More of that.
Yes. I think
we'll
get
there. We're going to make that happen. Paisley, so great to have you back at BYU. Got to give a shout-out to your parents as well.
Yes.
We're big fans of the show.
Steph, right? I know you're watching.
we heard you you are one of the ones that tune in all the time.
Yes.
Former Cougarette as well.
Yes.
Yeah, great stuff. Paisley, thanks for the
time.
Thanks,
Paisley.
Thank you so much.
Up next, we have a live update from the U19 FIBA World Cup. How many points has AJ DiBonsa gone for today? And how much are they embarrassing Cameroon? This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation with our question of the day, which is, how does the reported change at quarterback impact your expectations for BYU football in 2025? Kate_Goodman3 chimes in on Instagram and says, it doesn't. Still have an elite defense, good offensive line, good running back, tight end, and wide receiver room. No change at all. Okay. Our elite voice of the day, presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated, from @MikeZ, just me too on X, who says, with the talent level on the offensive side of the ball, as long as the quarterback can get the ball to the playmakers and be able to extend the play, doesn't matter to me. The defense will keep BYU in the game.
Look, the doom and gloom that's out there on social media.
Well, there goes the season.
No. This team is still very, very good.
Today's Rise and Shoutout, presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
How about AJ DiBonsa with Team USA in Switzerland, and Delaney Gibb with Team Canada and Chile representing BYU basketball, representing their countries, the United States and Canada.
Live update with AJ versus Cameroon. He's got 16 points, 5 rebounds, and 4 assists. Team USA currently leads Cameroon 104-67. So let's do some math on the air. That's a 37-point advantage right now.
I don't know how much time is left, but I'm going to assume the USA is going to pull this one off.
You're confident? Well, I think they can hold on,
I don't
Jason.
Think there's a 37-0 run or whatever it was.
What's AJ's rating in an EA Sports college game? It's 99?
It's as high as you can go. That's probably it.
Our thanks to today's guests, BYU football's Parker Kingston and Paisley Johnson-Harding, who's back at BYU as a women's basketball assistant coach.
Conversation continues 24/7 on X, Instagram, and Facebook. All of our shows are on demand. You can find them at BYUSN.com.
For Jason, I'm Spencer. Shout out to Kyle Van Noy. We'll see you tomorrow. Seriously, how do you rate Keanu Tanevasa as an 85?
Disrespect. Go Cougs!